The Gemara in Brachot, Daf Chet Amud Aleph, says as follows: Mishacharav Beit Hamikdash, Ein LaKadosh Baruch Hu Ela Dalet Amot Shel Halacha. All he has is the four Amot of Halacha, meaning the Beit Hamikdash was destroyed, and what is left in this world that Kadosh Baruch Hu resides in is Halacha. So it's a very puzzling Gemara. Why is it that from all the facets of Torah, firstly, Halakha was left? Only Halakha. That's the first question. There are other facets of Torah as well. And secondly, the second question is, why Dafka, after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, was the four Amot of Halakha left? Meaning, before the Beit HaMikdash, it was different. Once the Beit HaMikdash nichrav, once the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, then, and only then, we say, what we have left is the four Amot of Halakha. Meaning, the Beit HaMikdash being destroyed affected this situation, that what we have left in the world is Halakha. We're going to talk about a little bit about the importance of Halakha, and the point is going to be brought out from this Gemara. Rabbi Pinchas Zvichi, in the Shelot V'Tshuvot Ateret Paz, he asks, in an attempt to answer this question, he asks as follows. We recite in the end of Amidah, Yiratzon Lefanecha, Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Avotenu, Shtivneh Beit HaMikdash Bimra V'Yamenu, V'Tein Chalkenu B'Toratach. It should be your will that you should rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. And furthermore, not only should you rebuild the Beit HaMikdash, but you should give to us our portion in the Torah. You should give to us our portion in the Torah. The question that he asks is, what's the connection between the Beit HaMikdash and our portion in Torah? Meaning, you should rebuild the Beit HaMikdash, and then we'll attain our portion in Beit HaMikdash, in the learning of the Torah. What's the significance of the Beit HaMikdash and us receiving our portion in learning Torah? So he answers as follows. He says that while the Beit HaMikdash was around, a person was able to reach the closeness, was able to know the will of the Almighty through any portion of the Torah. Meaning, when a person was in the vicinity of the Beit HaMikdash, when a person was in the vicinity of the temple, then he was able to attain tools to build a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and able to know the will of the Almighty through any facet, through anything that he touched. That created that closeness. When the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, so that sense of clarity and that sense of connection left as well. And the only place that it stayed was in the Halakha. Meaning, a person now, after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, can only turn to the Halakha in order to achieve that goal, that accomplishment of knowing the will of the Almighty, knowing the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and being able to create a closeness between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what he answers in Shu'ut Ateret Paz, in his Hagdama. That's why we say Beit HaMikdash and our Torah portion, meaning once the Beit HaMikdash will be here, when Bezat Hashem Be'Mirah V'Yameinu will be rebuilt, we will be able to reach and attain the closeness to the Almighty and know the will of the Almighty directly through any portion of Torah. And we're waiting for the Beit HaMikdash so that we can delve into those other topics as well, into the other facets of Torah, and be able to attain that closeness. So we want our portion that's waiting for us in the Torah, that's only when the Beit HaMikdash will be built. But we see from here that today, what do we have? What can a person turn to in order to know the will of the Almighty? Is Halakha. The learning and the clearing up and the understanding of Halakha. Once the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, and we start off by asking, it's only after the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed that this was the path that we had to choose. This is the path we had to take in order to attain this closeness in order to attain this facet of Limud Torah. The Rambam in Pirkei Melchot Dorot says as follows: Keshem she'achacham nikar bechokhmato ubedeotav, just like a Tamid Chacham is recognizable with the amount of Torah that he knows, v'muvdal behem mishar ha'am, and so too, he's separated from the rest of the nation with his knowledge. A Tamid Chacham is obviously what separates him between the nation, is the fact that he has the Torah. That's one thing. Kach tzarich she'yeh nikar b'ma'asav u'b'machalo u'b'mashkeu. So too, he has to be separated from the nation. He has to be different. He has to be recognizable. You should be able to see that he's a Tamid Chacham by his actions, what he eats, what he drinks, b'asiyat tzrachav, the actions that he takes, diburo, the way he speaks, u'malbusho, and the way he dresses. Meaning what? Attaining the level of Tamid Chacham, or attaining the level of being a Ben Torah, is not just the knowledge of Torah, but it's a whole lifestyle. It's a whole lifestyle. It's a whole way of leading your life that one has to acquire in order to be called a Ben Torah. And that's the way a person should regard halakha. Because a lot of times I get questions about certain nuances in halakha. And my answer to them is that the Torah is a whole program. Meaning it's 100%. You have to be totally immersed in it. It's not just doing one separate mitzvah here and one separate mitzvah there. No, it's a whole picture that one has to have in order to be a Ben Torah. And once someone realizes that, he looks at the halakha in a different sense. He looks at it as if every part that he's learning, every portion that he's learning is coming to be mashlim, is coming to fulfill the whole picture. It's coming to fulfill the whole picture. Now, furthermore, the Sefer Or Letzion, Chacham Ben Tzion Abba Shaul, the previous Rosh Yeshiva of Porat Yosef, wrote as follows. He says, Kol davar tzarich psak. Page Kuf Ayin Tet. L'chol davar b'chaim tzarich psak halacha. He speaks about the importance of halacha. Everything in life, you need to turn to halacha in order to clear up. V'hakol nifsak b'halacha. And more than that, everything is nifsak b'halacha. Everything that you want to attain is in halacha. Every part of your life, every step of your life is in halacha. V'yifshar la'asot klum. A person cannot take one step, cannot live one day without receiving advice or without asking or clearing up what halacha demands of him to do. Every step. He goes into a case over here, even about things that look simple. Taking breaks, not taking breaks, vacations, where to go, where not to go, minyan in the place, the food that's there. Is it permissible? Is it not? Is it sanua? Is it not sanua? The halakha is meant as a guideline. It's a life guideline. It's not just certain boundaries that a person has, but it's a whole picture that one has to create. And in reality, this is a chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why is this a chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because it creates the fact that every part of our life is meaningful. Meaning that it's not just a situation where you have one mitzvah a day. Ideally, if we would have created this, we would have said, let's make one mitzvah a day, maybe one mitzvah a week. But here, the way we lead our life is what? Every step of our life is dictated by halakha. I'd like to give you an example of this. There's a certain halakha that a person should put on his right foot, his right shoe on his right foot first, and then his left shoe. Tie his left shoe, and then tie his right shoe. Simple. You put on your right shoe first, then you put on your left shoe. You tie your left shoe, and then you tie your right shoe. So Rabbi Yechiel Jacobson, when he was a little boy, he was very bothered. He was very bothered by this halakha. I can understand tefillin. I can understand tzitzit. Shabbat, Yom Kippur, but how to put on your shoes? Is that exactly what the Almighty is occupied with in the heavens? How I put on my shoes? That's what's bothering him? He used to live in Beit Vagan. And he was in a Bet Knesset where one of the Gdolei Ador, the previous generation, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, was there as well. Every Motzei Shabbat, the community, the whole Bet Knesset would escort Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach out of the Bet Knesset, and they would ask him the questions that they had. The major questions in halacha, major questions in hashkafa, questions that had to do with all of Am Yisrael, how to lead the nation. They asked him all types of questions. And Rabbi Yechiel Jacobson was a little boy at the time, and he had a burning desire to ask him this question. What's the significance of this? I don't understand. Tried 1 week, tried a second week, a third week, tried to push his way through. It was crowded. A little boy trying to get through, he wasn't successful. Finally, 1 week, one Motzei Shabbat, he gets close to the Rav, and he tugs away at his coat. And the people there are pushing him away, saying, little boy, go away, stop bothering the Rav. He tugs away at his coat, and he's pretty adamant about it. The Rav realizes what's going on, and he hushes everybody up and says, what's your question? The boy asks this question. He says, the halakha is, you put on your right shoe, and you put on your left shoe, you put on left shoe, and then the right shoe, tie it. He says, does God really care? Does the Almighty really care how we put on our shoes? This is what he's occupied with in the heavens? How I put on my shoes? So the Rav leans down to him. He bends down. Bends over. And he says, let's say that the Almighty doesn't care. Let's just say he doesn't care. But you have to put on your shoes anyway, right? Right? You have to put on your shoes anyway. Every day you have to put on your shoes. Why should there be a period in your life that's void of mitzvot? Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his endless chesed, and wanting to benefit his children, he created a system that there's no such a concept as vacuum. There's no vacuum in your life. There's no point in your life where you don't have an opportunity to gain reward in the world to come. A person's going to get upstairs after 120, and what's going to happen? He's going to be sitting up there in the court, and they're going to bring all his mitzvot. They're going to call him in, and the angels are going to come, and they're going to bring these big loads of mitzvot, Shabbat, Tefillin, Tzitzit, Brachot, Hadlakat Nerot, Yom Kippur, all these big mitzvot. And finally the list is going to end. They're going to go down the list. After everything's finished, he's going to get ready to go. He's going to be so excited. He sees his portion in the world to come. He's got this big, huge portion. And they say, just a minute, sit back down. Call in the other angels, the ones that are in the storeroom, in the warehouse. Bring in the mitzvot over there. He says, what mitzvot's left? We covered everything. All the basics, learning Torah and Chesed. He says, no, there's some that you forgot. You put on your shoes correctly every single day. You have endless schar in the world to come because you put on your shoes correctly. Is that not a Chesed? Anyway, you have to put on your shoes. So in this way, you put on your shoes and you get schar. That's a Chesed. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to benefit us. But that's halacha. And that's what Chaim Ben Tzion HaBashul is saying. That there is no such concept as not knowing what to do. The halakha, the point of the halakha, is that it gives you direction in every step of your life. Every point of your life, you know what to do. There's nothing that's void of the will of the Almighty. There's no vacuum. Now, the specialty of the Ben Ish Chai. Specialty of the Ben Ish Chai. What is the specialty of the Ben Ish Chai? In a personal aspect, we'll talk a little bit about the Ben Ish Chai. The Ben Ish Chai, before he was born, Rabbi Yaakov Abuchatzera sent a mivrak, he sent a letter to his father. And he told him, the boy that you're about to have, knew he was a boy, about to have, is going to be an or olam. He's going to be a light unto the world. His Torah is going to spread throughout the world, and he's going to be a light to the world. And that's how it was. That's how it was. The Ben Ish Chai's writings, he wrote over 40 Sfarim on all facets of Torah. Pshat, Remez, Drash, Sod, on Kabbalah, on stories of the Gemara, on Chumash, on Navi, on Halakha, Shalot V'Tshuvot. He covered everything. He was... How did he put together the Ben Ish Chai? Every Shabbat, he used to give a shiur in the Bet Knesset. Every Shabbat. And he used to speak for a few hours. And every week, he would cover a different topic. He did this for 2 years. Every Motzei Shabbat, he would write down what he spoke about and what his opinion was in the halakha. And that's how he got the Ben Ish Chai. That's why the Ben Ish Chai is divided into two. 2 years. The first year, and then the second year. But it came about because every Shabbat, he would write the halachot on Motzei Shabbat, whatever he would be doresh in that parasha. You look at the Hakdamot, you're able to see how he tied it in certain fashions. Whatever the halachot he would talk about, he would tie into the parasha. Rabbi Yehuda Ftaya, one of his main students, one of the big mekubalim of the previous generation, told a story regarding the Ben Ish Chai. That the Ben Ish Chai, at one point in his life, came to Eretz Yisrael. And the only way to travel was by having someone lead the trail. They had an Arab who knew the way to get through the desert. wasn't safe. Couldn't just hop on a plane. And they made a tenai with him. They made a condition. They said, "Look, we'll pay you whatever you want." The Ben Ish Chai told him. He said to him, "On one condition is that when it comes Shabbat, wherever we stop, we have to end there. Wherever we stop." Wherever it is, we have to camp. We cannot travel on Shabbat. So the leader told him, "Fine, no problem." Took a nice sum. They went the whole group. And they were on their way. Comes Friday afternoon, they're traveling. And the leader, person who's leading them, he tells them, "Look, if we stop here, it's dangerous. We have to continue." Ben Ish Chai says, "Look, we made one condition. Paid you whatever you wanted, I didn't hassle you on anything, is that when Shabbat comes along, we have to stop and encamp wherever it is." He said, "Look, you could stay here, but I'm continuing," the leader says. And he says, "If you, without me, you're lost." Ben Ish Chai is adamant about his opinion. He's staying. And that's what he did. He set up camp, and he stayed there. The one who was leading them, the Arab that knew the way, he hides behind a few rocks, and he wants to see what's going to happen. And lo and behold, what happens? Some ganavim, robbers, come to the camp of the Ben Ish Chai. Ben Ish Chai is oblivious to the whole thing. Look around, they see his tent, they see the candle, they see the Ben Ish Chai learning over there. And they sharpen their knives. They're about to enter into the tent. Waits a few minutes, expects to hear some type of ruffle, some type of balagan, and sees them. All he sees is them crawling out in awe and reverence of the Ben Ish Chai. And, you know, instead of doing what they intended to do, they left with receiving a blessing from the Ben Ish Chai and showing the highest respects to him. "And we're sorry for interrupting you. We're sorry for interrupting you. We're sorry for bothering you." The one who was leading it there, he was in shock. He couldn't believe what was going on. So what does he do? He goes down to the camp and he sees he's such a holy man. He was amazed that he felt so bad and it was wrong of him what he was doing. He begged for an apology. Ben Ish Chai made it finally to Eretz Yisrael. When he came to Eretz Yisrael, he came to the kever of Benayahu ben Yoyada, who was the chief commander of Shlomo HaMelech's army. He had another side job, which was the Rosh of the Sanhedrin. Right? He was the chief commander of the army and the Rosh of the Sanhedrin, two major positions. And when the Ben Ish Chai went to the kever, he felt a tremendous sense of inspiration. He felt a tremendous kedusha, and the Ben Ish Chai understood that his neshama is connected to the neshama of Benayahu ben Yoyada. That That was who his name. And he called his books after all the names that Benayahu ben Yehoyada had. Benayahu, Ben Ishchai, Ben Ishchail, Rav Pa'alim, all these books that the Ben Ishchai wrote are names of Benayahu ben Yehoyada. He knew that he had a certain connection to his neshama. Now, the way we're going to go about this is that we're going to go through the parashot, we're going to learn the Ben Ishchais, we're going to see them in depth as much as we can. There are portions in the Ben Ishchai that he's going to be talking about Kabbalah, in which we will not get into. I know all of you want to get into it, I know you guys all want to learn about it, but this is not the purpose of the class. The purpose of the class is to give over a fundamental understanding of Halakha. And the reason we chose the Ben Ishchai, is because he goes through all of the Shulchan Aruch, all Dalet Chalakim of the Shulchan Aruch, Or Chaim, Evan Ezer, Choshen Mishpat, and Yoreh De'ah, and he gives a tamtzit. He goes through the halachot, but in an abridged version. So one who goes through the Ben Ishchai, one who masters the Ben Ishchai, in reality, what does he have in his hands? He has all the practical halachot that he needs to know. Now this is not a substitute. In no way is this a substitute for learning halakha in depth. One does have to learn the Gemarot, one has to learn the Rishonim, have to see the Tur, the Bet Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch, and the Nosei Kelav. Nevertheless, in terms of either reviewing the halakhot, or a beginner who's looking for a strong background in halakhot, the Ben Ishchai is the perfect tool for that. Another thing that we gain from the Ben Ishchai is what I like to call Chasidah Kadisha. What does this mean? It means that the Ben Ishchai looked to cover all grounds. Didn't just stay with his opinion, but rather he looks to sort of walk in within the raindrops and not get wet. This means that when we learn the Ben Ishchai, we're also going to receive his view on halakha, how he perceived halakha, and how he went ahead and was posek halakha. And a person just from studying the Ben Ishchai receives a tremendous fear of heaven, receives a tremendous yirat shamayim. Now, we're going to learn the Ben Ishchai, and we're going to bring in the contemporary poskim. We're going to bring in some of the other poskim that argue on the Ben Ishchai. When the minhag is not like the Ben Ishchai, when we follow the Kaf HaChaim, when we follow the Chida, when the contemporary poskim argue, when Cham Ben Tzion Bashaul Zichrono Levracha would argue, when Sheikh Yibadel HaChaim Tovim Cham Avadia argues on the Ben Ishchai. So we're going to give a total picture of what the Ben Ishchai says, and also the other authorities as well. Now, in terms of one who is a beginner, just to touch on that point, it's important to understand that the Ben Ishchai himself is on a high level, in the sense that he's going to talk about things that are not necessarily beginner-oriented, meaning that he's going to introduce certain concepts, that are chumrot, stringencies. What does this mean? Stringencies? It's going to bring in Kabbalistic points very heavily. We're going to see in the Chot Tzitzit, the Chot Tfilin, we're going to tell us how to put on the Tzitzit, how to put on the Tfilin, how to remove them. For example, in Shabbat, he's going to talk about Kiddush. Kabbalistic concepts, but for one who's a beginner, it might be way over his head. So the way they should regard it is as follows. Hear it, understand it, realize that there's a deeper sense of halakha, but not necessarily are they mishubad, not necessarily are they obligated to keep these halakhot. In no way. In fact, in some aspects, and for some people, it's not suggested. Because if a person is just beginning, and for the first time in his life, he's putting on tefillin, and all of a sudden, he's hearing about, looking at the tefillin shorosh, and thinking certain Kabbalistic points, and realizing it might simply be too heavy. But enter it into your memory bank. Store it. Maybe he'll never use it. Maybe one day he will. But at least he'll be acquainted with what the Ben Ishchai says. Now we're going to go through the Ben Ishchai, and it's inevitable, because if we had to skip every point that the Ben Ishchai brought in Kabbalah, we would skip a quarter of the Sefer. So we're not necessarily going to go through all the points in depth. Some of them, sometimes we might actually skip it when the whole halakha is something like that. But that's the way one should regard it. Now, the Chida brings down in Shut Yosef Ometz that in terms of being posek, a person cannot be posek ad shepatach et ha-shulchan aruch ve'ora al pif. A person has to bring everything back to the source, and even the most simple halakha, a person has to always revert back to the Shulchan Aruch. I tried to do that as much as I could, to the best of my capabilities, always bring the source, always reach the source, reach the halakha, find and bring over what the minhagim is of the Sfaradim, if they cholek with the Ben Ishchai, if they agree with the Ben Ishchai, the Rab Chaim Falaji brings down in Sefer Kol HaChaim in Ma'arechet Daled, ומכאן עזרה למי שבא לפסוק דין, לחפש היטב, ולעיין בספרי האחרונים תחילה. A person should search very, very in depth in the Sifrei Achronim to see what the halakha is, and I tried to do that as much as I could, according to my best capabilities, and I hope HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me the Siyat Tishmai to do that. The learning, again, does not substitute the in-depth learning of halakha, and this is intended for a person who wants to get a broad knowledge in halakha, be it the person who's advanced or a person who's beginner. But the real substitute of halakha, the real point and the real level of learning halakha is as we had mentioned. Let's all turn to the Hagdama of Parshat Bereshit, the first parasha, page Zayin. I'm going to start from the middle, where the Ben Ish Chai says, Gam Katav Arizal. That's an interesting introduction about how we're not going to do so much Kabbalah. I'm going to start with the Kabbalah. Gam Katav Arizal, B'Shar HaKavanot B'Kavanat Malbish Arumim. Narizal wrote in Shara Kavanot, a book called Shara Kavanot, in regards to the bracha, the blessing that we say every morning of Malbish Arumim. The Malbush Ha'adam hu min ha-kedusha. The garment that a person wears, when he says garment here, he refers to the spiritual garment that a person wears, comes from Kedusha. Meaning you have a force that's surrounding. A force that comes from Kedusha, like a garment that surrounds the person. Val yedei averot, and when a person, chas v'shalom, does averot, he does sins, she'oseh gorem she'itachzu haklipot b'malbushav. When a person does sins, then what does he cause? He causes that the klipot, what's the klipot? The klipot is the forces of the tum'ah, the forces of the yetzara. These klipot, these forces of yetzara, they grasp and they have a holding on the malbush, the kedusha that surrounds the person. Vine, hamalbushim yesh bem or hamakif mechutz lahem. These garments, these spiritual garments that one has what's called an or hamakif, a kedusha that surrounds the person. The more avirot he does, the more of an achiza, more of a grasp that these forces of tum'ah have on the person, and the more they make a hole, so to speak, in one's garment. We can't see them, but if a person, and there are those who have spiritual glasses, they could see. And if we were sensitive enough, we'd be able to discern that every avera, every sense of tum'ah, creates another gap, another hole. Imagine, for example, when a kala, a bride, buys a gown. Spends weeks, if not months, choosing a gown. Finally, she chose a gown. Everybody's excited, has flowers on the shoulders, it's different and special. She's so excited to walk down the aisle. Right as she's about to open the door and walk down the aisle, her parents are on each side. Somebody comes by, one of the waiters, smoking a cigarette, wants to put it out. What does he do? Puts it out in the bride's garment. Imagine that. Imagine what she feels like. She has this beautiful garment. This is the one of the most exciting times in her life, and this is how she feels. Same thing. We have a spiritual garment of Kedusha that surrounds us, and every Avera that we do makes a blemish in that spiritual garment. Now the Yetzara is jealous and tries to grasp onto it. Kanuda, ki yesh or pnimi befnim v'nichlal betoch haguf. There's or pnimi, there's a spiritual Kedusha that's inside the garment, that's inside. There's a few layers. There's an outward one, outward light out of Kedusha, and an inward one of Kedusha. והמלבוש סובב את הגוף, ועל המלבוש הם האורות המקיפים ועומדים מחוץ המלבושים. ולכל לבוש לבוש יש בחינת אור מקיף כפי ערכו. Every garment that one wears has its own קדושה. ואין לך דבר שדוחה את הקליפות כמו אור המקיף.
There is nothing that pushes away, the Yetzara or the forces of Tum'ah like this spiritual garment that's it's like a force field. It's like a fire wall that surrounds the person. This big wall of fire that surrounds the person. Wherever the person goes, it protects him. Because the forces of Tuma don't have a strength, they don't have the capability of being yonek from the Ora Makif.
A person should understand that when he has this, he doesn't have to fear, says the Ben Ish Chai, B'Shem Shara Kavanot, that he doesn't have to fear the forces of Tum'ah if he has a strong spiritual force field that's surrounding him. He doesn't have to fear the Yetzirah because that in itself is going to push it away. V'hine,
B'ze muvan kin'at anacha, shenitkaneh ba'adam harishon, kodem achet, v'nitgare bo lachtio.
With this in mind, we can now understand why the Yetzirah was jealous of Adam HaRishon and why he attempted to make him sin. What did he gain by it? What did he want?
Ki nitkaneh mikutenet or shelo.
The Yetzirah, by getting Adam to sin, wanted to acquire that spiritual garment of Kedusha. He wanted that garment, and the only way he could get it was by removing it from Adam HaRishon. How is he going to do that? By making him sin.
שראה שיש עליו אור מקיף גדול, כפי ערך הכותונת אור, והוא אין לו אחיזה באור המקיף.
The Yetzirah saw that he has no אחיזה, he cannot grasp, he has no connection to that garment, and he wants it.
בסוד, והנחש היה ערום.
As we say, the pasuk is talking about the נחש is wise, he was witty, but ערום also means he was unclothed.
כנודע, ולכן נתגרה בו והכתיעו וגרם להעביר מעליו כותונת אור.
And he caused him to sin. And in order to gain that garment. Let's skip now to the next paragraph, which says Ulefi.
Ulefi ha'amur, de'en ha'achiza l'chitzoni ba'or ha'makif.
And as we've mentioned, there is no achiza, there's no grasp of the Yetzirah, of the forces of Tum'ah, on the Or Makif.
De'lekach nitkanei ha'nachash ba'adam ha'rishon.
That's why he was jealous of Adam ha'rishon.
Ba'avur Or ha'makif shu haya arum mimeno, she'en lo achiza bo, because he did not have a grasp in it.
הנה בזה מובן, בסייעתא דשמיא, with heaven's help, הטעם שמצווה ציצית מסוגלת לזכור את מצוות השם. Why is it that the tzitzit have a special capability of reminding us of mitzvot? Why is it that when one wears tzitzit that are kasher, he remembers the mitzvot?
כי הכתיב, as it says in the pasuk, וריתם אותו וזכרתם את כל מצוות השם.
You shall see them and remember the mitzvot. But what is the connection between tzitzit and remembering?
והוא, כי הציצית הוא בחינת אור מקיף.
ציצית is itself a garment, and in itself is this level, is this דרגה of אור מקיף, כמו שכתב רבנו אריזל, אז אריזל בלוט.
ולכך יש בו כוח לדחות את הקליפות,
and ציצית have this special power to push away the forces of tum'ah, of evil.
וכיוון דדוחה את הקליפות, לכך מועיל לזכירה.
As we mentioned, since you push away the tum'ah, what happens automatically? You have a natural capability of remembering. The Torah is a natural part of a Jew's being. The Torah it's natural, like air. If you push away things that are going to hinder it, it's just going to come naturally. The Arizal brings down that the whole concept of Shak Levitalia, of questions and answers and battling with the learning and having to get to the depth of something is like when a person has a fruit
and he wants to get to the fruit, he's got to peel the outside. Then he gets to the good part inside. The same thing that Rizal says in regards to Torah. A person has to take like a pile driver. It has to take some type of a sledgehammer and break through the layers, and then he's going to receive the fruit of Torah. But this natural wall is a protection on its own. ולכך יש בכוח לדחות את הקליפות, וכיוון דוחה את הקליפות, לכך מועיל לזכירה. דידוע מה שכתב רבנו אריזל, it's known what אריזל wrote בשאר הכוונות בסוד המלבושים שלובש האדם, in regards, that אריזל wrote in regards to the garments that one wears, שצריך להיזהר, שלא ידבע שני מלבושים בבת אחד. One should be cautious, one should be careful, says the אריזל, this is על פי קבלה, a person should not wear two clothes at once. והעושה כן, קשה לשכחה. And one who does this, wears two clothes at once, it causes him to forget. It can cause him to forget. Why is this so? What's the significance of this, says the Ben Ish Chai? V'sod ha-davar, and the reason for this, the secret of this is, ki lechol levush yesh b'chinat o mekif. Every garment that one wears has this spiritual force field, this spiritual realm that surrounds him, o mekif. Every garment. ואין דבר שדוחה הקליפות כמו אור המקיף. And as we mentioned, there's nothing that pushes away the tum'ah like this אור המקיף. לפי שאין להם יכולת לנוק ולהתאחז בו, because they cannot grasp onto it. ונמצא, כי המחבר שני לבושיו, when a person puts two garments together and wears them together, ולובשם ביחד, אינו מניח מקום לאור המקיף להיכנס תוך שני המלבושים. A person wears two garments together, what he does is, in a sense, he's creating a situation where the Or HaMekif, the spiritual force field, is not able to rest in between the two garments. It's only able to be outside. But if you put on one, one gets its Kedusha. The second one gets its Kedusha. Says the Ben Ish Chai, that is the proper level. ולהקיף בין כל לבוש ולבוש. ועל ידי כן אין הקליפות נדחות משם. And then what happens is you have a space that the Yetzara could get an Achizah and he could enter into. Again, this is a Bikabala, as we mentioned. This is a pi-kabbalah. One who wants to do this can. One who doesn't want to do this does not have to. Ve'noda she'en ha-shikha matzuya ele mechamat ha-klipot. Forgetting is only because of the klipot. Meaning, the yetzer hara, he causes this forgetfulness. Ki ha-shikha hi mitzad ha-kedusha. Because remembering comes from the sod ha-kedusha. Besod ve'en shikha lifnei kisei kavodecha. There's no forgetfulness. There's no forgetting in front of your heavenly throne. Ad kan l'shono. Yuyan sham. U'beze muvan. הטעם שפיר דציצית כיוון דו בחינת אור מקיף יש בו כוח לדחות הקליפות. דציצית has the power to push away the קליפות וממילא תדחה השכיחה. ותתגבר הזכירה בריאתו לזכור מצוות השם. דציצית ממילא creates a situation where a person will be able to remember more מצוות. כי בריאתו על ידי הכוונות השייכים לזה תתעורר הערת אור מקיף שהוא סוד הציצית. דציצית creates the קדושה. The Kedusha pushes away the Yetzara, and all forgetfulness comes from the Yetzara. Velachen, says the Ben Ish Chai, continues, Timtza, Tzitzit, the word Tzitzit, if you add up all the letters in Gematria, comes out 600. Mispar Bet Yaakov, it's the same number as Bet Yaakov. Uleze Amar, and based on this, since Tzitzit and Bet Yaakov are the same number, they're interchangeable, look at the Pasuk, Bet Yaakov Lechu Venilcha Be'or Hashem. Bet Yaakov, substitute that for tzitzit. But tzitzit causes us to walk in the house of the Almighty. Ki achiza be'or ha-makif, shushod ha-tzitzit, eno ela l'Israel, shem Bet Yaakov. The only nation that has this achiza, has this grasp, has this level of being able to attain the Almakif is only Am Yisrael. Ulezeh amar, ve'esa etchem al kanfei nesharim. And that's why the Pasuk says as well, I will lift you on the wings of angels. V'hu, כנשארים מספר ציצית. וכל זה לעת עתה שאין לנו השגה בתלית עצמו, אלא רק בציציות שהם הכנפיים. אבל בגמר התיקון, אביא אתכם אליי, at the end of the תיקון של זבן איש חי, based on ציצית, שתשיגו הכל גם בבחינת התלית. There's another level where the תלית itself has, and we're able to attain our full level of קדושה.